Hi, I'm Philip Shepherd. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this amazing once-in-a-lifetime conference, and especially to the Meditation and Breathwork channel, which I'm proud to be sponsoring because meditation and breathwork are essential to my teachings. I'm the founder of the Embodied Present Process, or TEP, which is based on my two books and is taught worldwide. And here's one thing I believe about meditation and breathwork. You limit your experience of both if you imagine that your mind is just the thoughts in your head. Your mind permeates your every cell. Every stirring of energy within your body is an expression of it. So, if you wish to calm your mind, the most direct route is to develop the skills that enable you to feel the body's energy and ground it in the spaciousness of the present. That's what my work is about. If that appeals to you, I hope you'll check out my two presentations, one on this channel and one on the main stage. You might also be interested in a special offer exclusive to the Embodiment Conference to listen to one of my embodied meditations for yourself for free. You can find a link to the special offer in the description of this presentation or on the show notes. And now, enjoy the presentation.
So, William, I'm going to hand over to you. And again, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Alison. So I'd like to welcome everyone from around the world, wherever you may be watching. I'm able to see some of you, and some of you I'm not able to see, but hopefully that you will be able to gain something from this forgiveness transmission. So my name is William Flay, and today I will be talking about the intersectionality between mindfulness, forgiveness, and trauma. So first, I would like to offer a guided meditation in three directions, followed by the seven principles of forgiveness, a Q&A, and I would like to then introduce my colleague, Barbara Hunt, and to tell you some of the work that we're doing later on in the year. So if you can now press the music, the background, and I'm going to start the guided meditation. So wherever you may be, I would like you to make yourselves very comfortable and really tune into this offering. So we're just gonna get some music playing in the background. Guided meditation in three directions. Forgiving oneself, forgiving someone else, and asking for forgiveness. So let's take a few moments to ground ourselves in our intention. Perhaps taking some deep breaths. Sensing the contact points with the floor, with the chair, and just making yourself feel at ease. Remember to pace yourself and only do what you feel you're ready to do. I'd like you to all imagine a very beautiful place. Perhaps a forest, a beach, or perhaps somewhere in your home, somewhere that feels very safe. For some people, this may be a process which you are revisiting. For other people, this may be an entirely new process. But wherever you are in your journey, this is your journey. And in this moment, collectively, we are sharing and raising our collective vibrations. And by doing this, we also raise the vibrations of the planet and in the entire ecosystem which we are a part of. By forgiving oneself, we have a tremendous effect on those around us, on our personal hemispheres, and on our ability to see through what really matters in our lives. The first direction, forgiving oneself. So, there may be times in your life when you have harmed yourself, hurt yourself, either intentionally or unintentionally, carried the wounds or the injuries of other people, or other people's projections have shaped your identity or have caused you great harm. This moment, to the degree that you're able to feel and sense this in your body, and feel and sense that deep intention to belong, to connect, and to let go. Understand that in the universe there is abundant love and energy to take you through any situation. So wherever these injuries may have been in your life, perhaps during childhood, during adolescence, perhaps in a time and distance so long forgotten, but the effects remain ever present and lingering on the wind, lingering to other people and onto the earth. So in this moment, let's take some deep breaths, some centering. As best as you are able to do this practice, allow the seed of forgiveness to enter your psyche. May I forgive myself, your mind, and in your heart. May I fully forgive myself. Fully forgive myself. next stage is forgiving other people. You may want to bring in a particular person or situation in mind. Whether they have intentionally or unintentionally harmed you, try to recall and visualize this person now entering this natural space, this beautiful space that you have created in your mind. And perhaps looking at them in the eye, looking at them, at their whole being, at their whole existence, and realizing, actually, we're not so different. I am you, and you are me. You're able to name the hurt and the pain that they have caused you. Able to name the many hooks and layers after layer after layer after layer. And in this moment, we begin to release them. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Direction is asking for forgiveness. And again, I would like you to invite a person you may have harmed into this wonderful, beautiful space you have created. Looking at them in the eye and thinking, I am you and you are me. We are more than our pain. We are more than our anger. We are more than our greed. We are more than all of this. This moment, you begin to see the effects and to listen and tune in. Tune in and tune in to your effects on that other person's life cycle. What you may have given them through your ignorance, anger, or blindness. And as we tune in, we realize what we have done and are deeply remorseful and make a commitment to challenge our views and behavior. In this moment, the pain and the trauma ends with you. So you ask them, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Thank you. take a few moments to breathe in and to release all the sorrow and the sadness and the pain into this beautiful sunset, allowing it to dissolve, allowing it to renew your spirit, and allowing you to be whole again, allowing you to reconnect with that which you are. Sorry, everyone. Can we stop for a second? I believe my guided meditation wasn't heard. Is that correct? Oh, I'm so sorry about that.
We could hear you, William. William, I could hear you.
But the music. Did everyone hear the music?
I could hear the music and I could hear you. It was beautiful.
Yeah. I could hear you and the music.
Okay, you could hear me. The people in the room could hear me. Okay.
Yes, they're saying this. Yep.
Yes. Is it possible then, maybe in the recording, to overlay this at a different point?
I don't know, Yolanda. Is that something we can?
The recording is just straight. We don't have a chance to do much editing to it.
Oh gosh, I'm so sorry. Well, I'm hoping that somehow something was transmitted in the intention. And I know some of you received this. So what I will do is I will actually re-record it and put it on with somewhere accessible. So apologies, everyone. Please forgive me.
No, we could hear you, William. It was beautiful. And we could see you and we could hear the music. So right, it was a really beautiful meditation.
Okay, so again, apologize, but this is where we are. So introduction. So we did this, actually. A million species around the world are at risk of extinction. In the last 80 years, natural habitats have been reduced from 77% to 33%, according to David Attenborough recently. We are responsible for saving the planet. Over the summer, something very unusual actually took place and happened in the south coast of England. Something I've actually never seen before. Hundreds of sea lions actually just appeared on the coast and actually sat. So why is this strange? Considering this is their natural home. That's because we took it. We took every single bit of coastline and left nothing for it. Humans have a sense of entitlement, a sense of ownership on this planet. But actually, we're custodians and not caretakers. And caretakers. Question, how does the intersectionality of this practice of forgiveness relate to both saving the planet and saving ourselves from the vast destruction that we're actually seeing now, the pandemic, etc. So I'd like to now begin the seven principles of forgiveness. Principle one, forgiveness is a process of mourning, which takes time. Most of our thoughts are actually repetitive, about 98% of the thoughts that we actually contain in our minds are actually the same. But thoughts aren't actually, thoughts are not linear. Thoughts are actually circular. Some people may call this an aura. Other people call it an energetic field or a hemisphere. When we are around other people, we are affected by their hemispheres. We have also inherited thousands of hemispheres over a lifetime. Our sense of identity, in a sense, is a non-self. Our traumas, which I refer to as ground zeros, often relate to our shadow emotions, such as anger, greed, and jealousy. They not only reduce our hemispheres, but they make us vulnerable, shorten our lifespan. Forgiveness actually raises this vibration within each and every one of us and collectively. So I'd like to take a moment really to define forgiveness. Forgiveness is a real conscious and deliberate choice to release these feelings of anger and revenge that really dampen these hemispheres, regardless of whether the other person deserves it or not, but it's actually to really release ourselves. So there are actually a few words that really feel or sound the same as forgiveness, but actually they tend to confuse the definition. And some of these are like reconciliation. So we do not need reconciliation in order to forgive. Is that clear? So there's a little bit of a distinction here. Let me make this clear. So reconciliation and forgiveness are different. Reconciliation means that we have to make up for the person. So sometimes actually we can reconcile and not forgive and be in the relationship with that person. So pardoning, excusing, there's really no process here. There's no process taking place. So you step on someone's foot. So that's like pardoning or excusing. Justification. So justification is almost inviting the person to harm. So you're aware of what they're doing and in a way you're making excuses for the person. So these are just some of the complexities around the definition. Forgiveness is a psychic reset. Principle 2, the capacity for rebuilding begins with forgiveness. Forgiveness boosts our resilience. It shapes our internal world and our outlook caused by injustices and grievances. So look, 10 years ago, a lady named Helen came to one of my workshops. And she said, I have been given a few months to live, and I would like to do this forgiveness work because I don't want to die hating my mother. So after some journaling and after some mourning and grieving and practice so diligently and journaling, she then finally decided to write a letter to her mother and put it in a bottle and went to the beach and threw it over the ocean. As she did this, the bottle then came back to her. So she then actually put some pebbles in the bottle and sent it back into the ocean, and that seemed to work. So the strange thing about this process was, after some more medical tests, her heart had actually changed. And At first I thought, oh wow, I'm a miracle worker. But then reading in the Journal of Medicine, I then realized actually this is really common. Anger actually does kill. It really does affect the cardiovascular system. So this is quite well documented of the benefits of medicine. And Helen, by the way, is still alive today, 10 years later, and enjoying a relatively good quality of life. Like so many people entering this journey, forgiveness actually benefits you. It benefits you, but actually it also benefits everyone in society. It's a collective benefit. And we do see this actually as we move on deeper into the practice. Esther Perel, a Belgianese psychotherapist whose parents actually met at the concentration camp, said, there are two types of people who she classified, and these were people who have not died and people who have lived. So what's this great quality then, which people strive for? What is it? Perhaps maybe getting back to zero, as in the Hawaiian ritual, Ho'oponopono, maybe that's what it is. A recent documentary called My Octopus Teacher covered a life of an obsessed scientist who diligently and daily spent his time filming this octopus. It's actually one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen. And some of the scenery is just fragrant of, it really captures what I'm trying to say here with the world needing more forgiveness. It concluded that we are actually part of the natural world around us, that we are actually part of the ecosystem, that we're not just actually visitors, but also that your role in place here is actually a precious gift. It's a precious gift. And that we are totally reliant on what we see around us. So we are all interconnected. Doesn't that make this process of forgiveness actually so precious and valuable? And this is it, isn't it? This is such an important message today. We are all interconnected, whether you like it or not, and whether you believe it or not. But actually, it's the blindness that really kills us. And it's the blindness that is killing the planet. It is those who choose to look in the other direction and those who choose not to act. So this is a serious message that the world actually does need more forgiveness. Principle three, forgiveness is evolutionary. So at first, actually, when I began my own journey into forgiveness 5 years ago, I thought it was an option. I thought it was a really good option to do, but actually now I see it as a very critical thing to do. The evolutionary process of forgiveness is actually very complex. Researchers believe that social decision-making relies heavily upon cognitive adaptations designed by human selection to optimize choice. In a nutshell, this means evolutionary forgives you more, makes you more adaptable. It makes you more adaptable to your environment. So are you stuck in your hemisphere? Which hemisphere are you stuck in? Again, I said that the forgiveness process is a process of grief that affects the rest of us. In evolutionary terms, we have had defense mechanisms which have been necessary for survival, right? For survival. So they either compel us to retaliate or to reconcile, right? But our parasympathetic nervous system is often hijacked by what? By other people's hemispheres, by their traumas, by what they see. And we have really seen it this year, haven't we? We have really seen it and felt it on many levels this year. Is Mother Nature trying to say something to us? Yes. And what would you do if you had the power of Mother Nature and seeing everything destroyed? What would you do? So getting back to the point, we think that the defense mechanisms that we're actually employ, that we employ, actually protect us, but actually they're harming us. So sustained in the long run, this is what's called trauma, isn't it? Flight or fright. The danger is that we don't know when we're in this space, not knowing that you're in this space of either reconciliation or pushing people away, fighting, taking arms. So have you put down your arms? What are your weapons? What are you not seeing? So the forgiveness is a real skill set to really develop. And it could really override our skills, our default setting. Principle four, forgiveness is fully embracing. So if any of you actually hold a loyalty card to a supermarket or to a coffee shop, you will not see anger and his companions written on your little stamp card, will you? But actually that's what, in a sense, that's what we're really doing. We're really loyal to our stories. We're loyal to our anger. I had a friend actually named Teresa whose mother was dying. She came to our group. And she said, I'm never going to forgive my mother for what she did. Unfortunately, her mother died. And I said, what did your mother do? She says, I can't remember, but I'm so angry. Unfortunately, this work never was completed for Teresa. We're really loyal to anger and its companions, and this is very dangerous. In this practice of real meditation, this is when we can really uproot and really witness our own pain, our own process, and the micro shifts in our consciousness are really important here. The micro shifts in our heart are really critical here. So one aspect of forgiveness is really to be able to hold, is a holding. It's actually been described as a protectory for the mourning process, for the grieving process. When I start my workshops, I often ask, how many of you would actually deliberately pass on trauma to your child? Because children are not actually born hating. This is actually something they're trained to do. This is a conditioning. I'm going to move on to stage five. So forgiveness is not a quick fix. It's not a bypassing. One piece of research actually indicated that all primates are capable of forgiving. Chimpanzees, apes, even hyenas forgive. Actually, the only animal that was found not to forgive was the domestic cat. So I don't know how many of you have cats and can confirm that. But forgiveness here is long-term work. It is a lifetime time process because it really requires deep inquiry. It really requires deep inquiry. It's not just brushing over. It takes great presence and courage to really be able to be vulnerable enough to see ourselves and see ourselves in each other and hold each other in this sense. Who were we before our traumas? Who were we? Before our enemies or difficult situations actually transformed us. Actually, so what was taken there? Who were we? Who are we trying to become here? One of my favorite films, by Jodie Foster called Contact. She lands on this planet, or she lands, she visits this alien life form who actually were looking for intelligent forms of life. And actually we're gonna skip Earth because they didn't feel that was gonna be a place in their visit. But my favorite quote from here was, "You humans are capable of such horrible nightmares, pollution, deforestation, global warming, but you're capable of so many beautiful things." That really stuck in my mind, actually, because the thoughts that we're putting into the world, into the universe, are actually becoming real and actually are coming back to us. Principle 6, forgiveness heals the heart of great injustices. Sometimes, actually, a lot of times, it's the small things that actually count, isn't it? The small transgressions, the small injuries, the things actually people don't tend to see are the things actually sometimes that hurt us the most, the things that people do not witness. A few years ago, I read a horrible story in the newspaper of a woman in England who had a disabled daughter. She was a single parent. And for 15 years, she had been bullied by a gang of youths. And she actually decided to light the car on fire with herself and her daughter in it. I actually never forget this. Can you think of times really when your story wasn't witnessed? Perhaps when no one noticed for you what was going on, the bombardment of abuse or something else that really needed to be said. So really here we have a process of really being able to filter and to process and to be able to let go of some of these injustices. Forgiveness is a real habilitation of the heart and a rehumanization process. In a sense, the intersectionality with mindfulness, forgiveness, and trauma is a commitment to choose an alternative reality in response to our conditioning and to our trauma, but also a trajectory that we can actually make this a better world. So in a sense, forgiveness is a catalyst to release ourselves from the unresolved anger that we may carry or the ill will towards each other. Principle 7. So take accountability that we are all interconnected with a diverse system which we must act to save. So trauma is intergenerational. It's actually collective. Hurt people hurt other people. Not normally healthy people that hurt healthy people. It's normally hurt people that hurt other people. In My Grandmother's Hands, a book by Resmaa McCallum, he made this actually quite clear, that we were all suffering from massive trauma that needs healing, in a sense of reframing. And I'm wondering really, in this global incubation period that we currently have, if this is a process really that we should be strongly considering, that the world is really trying to tell us something.
William, apologies for interrupting. Just a time check. It's 12:41, just as requested.
Okay. Thank you. So in conclusion, there is a correlation here between the interpersonal and the global catastrophes that we are experiencing. The world needs more forgiveness. The health of us and our planet actually depend on this. Let today be the day that the seed is sown in your hearts. The world needs more forgiveness. but rather we need more, we need to be forgiven by the planet, by the world. So it's a dual relationship. Thank you.
Thank you very much, William. That was fantastic. I've certainly got lots of questions I want to ask, but we do have some questions coming in from the audience. So the first question that I've got here is, how important is it to have a teacher to do this work?
Teachers provide excellent mirroring and the ethics and the experience to really help us understand the complexities of the different layers that we have to go through. This is a very complex process on an interpersonal level. And often than not, what we're actually seeing is once we begin this work, we begin forgiving the small things, and we're actually seeing and noticing, oh, this works. Oh, I can see a difference. My relationships are improving. Things are shifting in my life. My auras are improving. What I said earlier about my hemispheres, the thoughts being circular, not square. We see these improvements around us. We see the energy changing. So a teacher and a community and a group is actually very critical in actually helping us mourn, grieve, and actually have a trajectory as to what are we going to do here? And actually also the benefits of joy and compassion to really help us bring those excellent qualities which really manifest.
Thank you. William, we do have a request that perhaps you could just repeat the steps in the process, the seven steps. Perhaps you can just list them. I think some people were trying to capture them. So could you just say what each of the steps was, just very briefly, just so that people can make a note of that. And I do have some other questions for you.
Well, I will also post some on my website if anyone wants to see. But the principle number one was forgiveness is a process of mourning, which takes time. The capacity for rebuilding begins with forgiveness. Forgiveness is evolutionary. Forgiveness is fully embracing. Forgiveness is not bypassing. Forgiveness heals the heart of great injustices. And number seven, take accountability of the fact that we're all interconnected within a diverse ecosystem.
Thank you. And I have another question here for you, which is, what practical steps can be taken in order to start practicing forgiveness?
So there are a number of resources, and actually I'm here with Barbara Hunt, and I don't know if she wants to take on some of these questions for me. I'd like to introduce my colleague who I run the workshops with, so we can share these questions. But the practical steps, you want to answer this, Barbara? You want to introduce what you do and who you are?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, William. Thank you very much for this beautiful sharing and also for this amazing offering to the world. How extraordinary. So I'm a forgiveness specialist and a coach, and my particular interest with forgiveness is, why do we find it so hard? Why do we find it so challenging? What is it about forgiveness that means we can get stuck? And like William was saying, I really passionately believe that if we each do our forgiveness work, that ultimately that will create a better world, because the only place where resentment and ill will is held is in the heart. And each individual person can do their forgiveness work, and it is an act of amnesty for the whole of humanity if we do. And so in terms of practical steps, Amy's question about what practical steps can be taken in order to start to practice forgiveness, I would say have forgiveness as your practice. William was saying that forgiveness is a lifelong practice, which means that we do it all the time on everything that we need to. It's not just things we need to forgive in the past, it's also things that we need to forgive in our daily lives. And so what I suggest with my clients and when I do workshops is that people keep a forgiveness list, which means that you write down the names of the people who you think you need to forgive, and you keep your list. And then as you do your forgiveness practice on each one of those people, you take them off the list, and then you add new people and things to the bottom of your list. And so it goes on as a life practice. Don't know if you have anything to add to that, William.
No, I don't, but that's great. Thank you.
That's a beautiful practice, actually, Barbara. I love that idea of the forgiveness list. That's really useful. So thank you. Yeah. William, I want to invite Kevin, who's one of the panelists, to unmute himself because he has a question for you and he's not been able to put it in the Q&A because he's a panelist. So I'm going to ask him to put his question to you directly. Kevin, if you want to unmute yourself.
Yes. My question, I've tried many practices, but I still have at times anxiety because of climate change. I always wanted to leave this life, leaving a better world behind. And at 69, I know that won't happen. That causes a little guilt.
What's your question?
How do I deal with it?
How do you deal with the guilt that you
and, it is the guilt and the anxiety? I've tried many practices. I've been practicing 90 years, but I still have a residue there at times.
I would say reflect on the goodness that you have done in your lifespan. Reflect on the practices that you're already doing. And earlier you've already mentioned that you were doing quite compassionate work and practices. And this does have an effect on other people. And sometimes we don't immediately see the effects of our practice. Sometimes these effects are actually returned to us in various ways and at various times, but they do work because otherwise we would not continue practicing.
If I could just share, 2 years after my first marriage fell apart, I stumbled into Buddhism. And a year later after that, I wrote to my former wife, 20 sides of A4 with all the bad things I could remember, and asked for forgiveness. And that was really healing for me and for her.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Do you want to add anything to that, Barbara?
The only thing I'd also add, Kevin, is about self-forgiveness. Sometimes that's the bit that we find the hardest. Is to
self-forgiveness,
really...
self-compassion I practice.
Yeah, yeah. And actually really doing the same practice, choosing to let go of your ill will towards yourself about anything that you did or didn't do. And yes, so that's, I would just, maybe write yourself a letter, do the same thing.
Yeah, I actually got on YouTube, a Jack Kornfield forgiveness meditation I often return to.
Thank you. So we've got, I think, time for maybe one more question. And then, William, I know you've got some information that you want to share with people about some upcoming things. But the question that's coming through is, how can you deal with very old, painful experiences? So this, if I'm understanding correctly, sounds as though it's something that's been around a long time, perhaps is quite embedded in terms of that pain. So asking how to deal with that in terms of forgiveness.
Barbara, can we answer this together? Yeah. So I would say, as someone said earlier, find a community, find the practice, find the resources around you, practice, give generously to other people, really involve and commit yourself to not only helping other people and seeing the goodness in other people actually helps you. But with these deep wounds, we have to take them one by one with enormous care and self-forgiveness and self-compassion, really being good and kind to yourself, putting yourself first on the heart list.
Yeah, that's beautiful, William. And I'd also add the part about grief that you said. Sometimes when there's a lot of old information from the past, sometimes there's things that we need to grieve and we need to admit to ourselves that we didn't get, or our needs were met, or we were traumatized, or we were damaged. And sometimes that can be a very hard part. And if you have had a lot of trauma, I always suggest that you do your forgiveness work with somebody, with a coach or a mentor or a spiritual guide, or with someone who you trust, especially if it's old material that you've had for a long time. But the other really amazing thing to know is that you can forgive. If you really want to, you can forgive anything. And I honestly have worked with people from all walks of life who've forgiven minor things to major things. And then if you think about exemplars in the world, people like Eva Kaur or Edith Eger, people who've actually forgiven extraordinary circumstances. So just to reassure you that if you want to forgive, you can.
So thank you everyone for sharing this opportunity to bring forgiveness to your lives. I hope that it may really deeply begin to change and manifest in the beautiful ways that I have known it to change my life and that of many others. So me and Barbara will be hosting a dual session on the 21st of November, which is a Saturday. If you want to be involved in this, please send us an email. I will put the website, actually the websites are on the slides. I believe the slides are going to be put in the Google documents, but the website anyway is meditationcircle.co.uk, or you can email Barbara at easybarbara.
You can go via my website, which is forgivenessmadeeasy.co.uk. And I also have a book of the same name, Forgiveness Made Easy by Barbara J. Hunt.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much. Will you flash the slides possibly if you're able to? Yeah. Should we take one more question, or we're out of time?
We've got another minute if anyone does have a further question they would like to ask. I can't see the chat now.
Okay. So one of the organizations that I run is the Mindfulness Network for People of Color. While it says color, we do actually have open events for everyone. The third annual Empowerment Retreat is hosted by Rhonda McGee, mindfulness teacher, law professor from San Francisco, will be coming to speak at Parliament next June before this retreat. So everyone is welcome to this retreat. And we have a Christmas event. Everyone's welcome to these events. The next slide, please. That's our Christmas event. These slides are on everyone's, on the Google documents. Next slide, please. Okay, so that's me and Barbara there. So we're doing a taster on the 21st, followed by a 5-week course on Saturday evenings, I believe. Yeah, and I think next slide, I think that's it. So I just wanted to give people an opportunity to really connect with us and see what some of us are doing. So thank you again, everyone, for joining us. And I hope this has been a beneficial. Thank you, Barbara and Allison, for hosting, and everyone who has joined us. Kev from Thailand, all these people from around the world. I know there's a lot of you in there. I'm sorry I haven't been able to read everything you posted. I will record that guided meditation earlier. I had my mic on mute. That's a big mistake, but everything is forgivable. So I will be happy to re-record it and post it on we have a YouTube page.
Your microphone was not on mute. We could hear you perfectly. It was fantastic.
Oh, you did hear me. I thought it was on mute.
No, it was fine. Everyone heard you, and it was a great meditation.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, thank you very much, William. That was wonderful. Yeah,
okay.
Beautiful presentation. Thank you. I'd like to thank you, Barbara, as well for joining in with William, but really wonderful presentation. Very thought provoking. I've definitely got some great things to take away with me, and I'm sure everybody else has. Just a few things just to remind everybody. I think Yolanda has put all the contacts with Barbara and for William into the chat. You can obviously join the Facebook group. There's a Facebook group for the Meditation and Breathwork channel, so you can talk to people in there about what you're learning, your experiences, and also the overall Embodiment Conference Facebook group as well. You're welcome to join a coffee break meeting after this session, so between now and the next session's happening. So again, you can network and talk to people about what you're learning. Obviously, there's an awful lot of sessions going on. We've got 1,000 speakers over the course of the 2 weeks. So if you would like to own all of the recordings so that you can really take your time and digest all the amazing information and learnings that we're receiving here, then that's a good opportunity to get that now, so you can upgrade there. And I'd also just like to remind you of a couple of the sessions we've got coming up later today on this channel. So we've got Dr. Judith Kravitz, who's going to be talking to us about the importance of integrative breathwork. That's at 4 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, we've got Anadeya Judith, who's talking about charging up your energy body, how to balance your life force and your chakras in your life. And at 10, we've got Neil McKinley talking about the embodied heart. So loads of opportunities on this channel. And of course, there's all the rest of the channels as well that you can tap into. I'd like to once again thank our sponsor for this session, Philip Shepherd. And just lastly, William, just to come back to you for the final word today, is there one last tip that you would like to share with everybody for how to be embodied, how to really bring forgiveness into their lives? What's your one top tip you'd like to leave everybody with?
My little secret, how I started all this, was actually writing in pebbles all the things I wanted to project. I picked 7 stones and I wrote keywords and I put them in the house and I put them all around me. And that was it. That began to change how, what I was looking at and what I was projecting, my intentions.
That is absolutely beautiful. I love that idea. I'm going to have to go and get some pebbles. It's a great idea, William. Thank you so much. And thank you again for being with us today, for sharing this with us. Really valuable session.